What's up, brother? How you doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. This here is the Hawaiian Lion, Rob Johnson, and this is our podcast with the Kodiak called Welcome to the Jungle. As you could tell, the first part of the music won't be the music we normally will be playing, and as it is, we do not own the rights to that music. It is Crime Time's entrance theme, as we're here to pay honor and homage to Shad Gaspard, who was a former WWE superstar who just lost his life a few days ago. As here at Welcome to the Jungle podcast, we do send out our condolences to his family and to our best wishes. As that is stated now, we are going to take a few moments of silence to remember Shad Gaspard, who was actually a hero. He was yelling for the lifeguards to save his son instead of him first. He was also, if you're a video game enthusiast, he did some of the body modeling for the God of War game on the PlayStation 4, as well as some of the combat mechanics. So right now we'll go into that silence, then we'll start our podcast. All right, Kodiak, my brother, how have things been with you? How are you doing during this pandemic?
I'm doing okay. Working every day, so nothing's really changed here in the Kodiak family household. Although I have found out some great news just before this pandemic it all came about. I myself am going to be a father, and we have found out that it's going to be a baby boy. I cannot wait. It's going to be fun. I'm sure Uncle Lion here will, he'll do uncle things and teach him how to wrestle probably, and let's go from there. How have you been holding up?
I've been doing great, man. And by the way, I congratulations, brother. I'm so happy you're having a son. Oh, the things we're gonna do to that boy when he gets older. Yeah, man. I'm just trying to make it day to day through this pandemic. Wife is doing her thing, and we're making it. The homeschooling thing with these kids is kind of tough. They're kind of stubborn headed about doing their schoolwork, but that aside, man, everybody during this pandemic, we want to wish our best to anybody who's been affected by it, who's had a loss. We definitely want to let you know that hopefully, we're going to get through this together, even apart, like everybody's been saying on all the commercials. So, with that being said, let's go ahead, go right into this has been this podcast, just to let you know, has been Kodiak's ideal, and we've been thinking about it, we've been talking about it for probably a week, and we decided to go ahead and go with it. As Kodiak is the host, we're going to go ahead and let him start asking me some questions.
All right, so obviously we're going to go ahead and get started here. Rob, tell us a little bit about yourself and your gimmick.
Oh shit, my gimmick, man, has been through so many different changes. I started, like, if you wanted to know a little bit more, we'll go back to the beginning. 1992, I started training. 6 months later, I was in my first match under a mask as a gimmick called the Guardian. I was wrestling one of the guys who started to train me, and I couldn't hear shit through the mask and got my ass whooped. I came out to all the music of all the kind of music you came to was Ted Nugent's Cat Scratch Fever. Picture this. I already look like a big railroad crossing sign, and I came out to Ted Nugent's Cat Scratch Fever. And my trainer whooped the shit out of me. As my gimmicks evolved through the years, I ended up being Shadow Belisarius, which was a paid homage to one of my characters in D&D. He was like a ninja. He wore a mask. He was black and white. Had the tassels on my arms. I like a turtleneck singlet kind of deal. And man, that was a fun gimmick. I wrestled probably under Shadow Belisarius until 1995, and then my first trainer and I had started to part ways for personal differences. It was a very sad time, but took a break, man. I left Ohio, ended up in Florida, I know this is not part of my gimmick story, but met the woman I'm with in 1997, May 17th. We were together 23 years. So there's that. But for the gimmicks after that came, I started to come back as Shadow Belisarius. A lot of people went into a company called ACW in Washington Courthouse. But before all that, I was driving down. It was 2003. I was driving 5.5 hours from just south of Detroit, Michigan, to come see my former trainer and somebody who was going to help me, you know, put their neck on the line. There's actually two people who trained me. It was Supernatural Jay Kilgore, and then the Canadian Crusher Bobby Boucher or Brian Crawford. Went into that. I was driving 5.5-6 hours down to see them from south of Detroit. The Crusher put his neck on the line for me in 2003 to get me back in the ring for a little company called ACW in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. I was like, yeah, absolutely. If you're willing to do that for me, I'll come back. And I started out with no gear because my gear had gotten lost, or my exes had thrown it away or burned it. I came out in silver shorts and a Hawaiian like tank top. Still coming out of Shadow Belisarius. The company had problems with that name because there was a movie coming out called The Shadow, and they didn't want to get hit with copyright infringement or something along those lines. So tried the Flying Hawaiian Shawn Belisarius, but I didn't do flying moves, so that lasted one show. And then I took a picture. I was doing promo pictures. I took a picture of me in a black leather vest with my back to the camera and sunglasses, kind of looking over my shoulder. And they're like, oh, you know, that picture makes you look like The Rock, you know. So how about you go with this gimmick? Let's change your name to the Hawaiian Lion Rob Johnson. And there you go, man. That's the Hawaiian Lion Rob Johnson was born probably 2003, 2004. And then I wrestled under that name ever since.
Nice. What are some of the promotions that you have wrestled in?
Oh, God, man. Let's see. At the time I went back to ACW, I was wrestling for them for a year. And then I was like, oh, I need to get, you know, some work closer to home, because I wasn't getting paid to drive 5.5 hours. I was like, I need to get to work some work closer to home. There was Monroe, Michigan, this little company I heard about called Outlaw Pro Wrestling up in Michigan. I started there in 2000. Gosh, I don't even remember. It was 2004, maybe even 2000. No, that was during my ICW. That came in like 2008 was OPW. But before Outlaw Pro Wrestling, but before that was Continental Wrestling Alliance, promoted by Christian Steele and Eternal Knight, which then changed to ICWF, which was promoted by Christian Steele, which then also became RPW 1.0. The promoters then were probably, I forget, it was Joe Black and JT Storm. Then that went through a couple bosses. Joe backed out and it was just Storm with the help of someone else. And then RPW 2.0, which was Revolution Pro Wrestling 2.0, which was Vinny Violence. I wrestled there for a lot of years, up until they closed their doors. Came back to a company called GWF, which was kind of like RPW, but better. It was headed by a young guy, didn't have a lot of knowledge of the business, but the guy who had started helping him was who we call Robbie Rampage. It was Robbie Rampage and Connor Cross, had started GWF, and they wanted me to come down and wrestle. I was actually starting to get paid a little bit of money. Not a lot of people get paid, but I very little was what I was getting paid because I had to drive so far. After we wrestled in GWF, and then I met this punk kid there. I forget his name. Oh, it's called Kodiak. That was
we met in RPW.
Was it the end of RPW? Well,
yep,
I don't
remember the end of RPW.
I don't remember the end of RPW that much. Oh, that's right. You were the other one in there with Connor when we were doing chop drills. But
we
really got to know each other in GWF.
Yes, we did. That's where our friendship had really became. It went from a friendship to a brotherhood.
Yep, yes, it did. And then I heard about a company called IWA. They wanted me to come in, do a couple spots. I was like, yeah, I'll come in. I'll come up there and do that. I'd be happy to do that for you. I started wrestling at IWA, wrestled for GWF until they closed their doors, and then I wrestled for IWA until probably two or three shows, maybe four shows. Well, I took a year off, almost a year, 6-8 months, because of some other things going on. I came back, rejoined with my partner, Christian Steele. We were the International House of Pain, had been since the end of RPW, but we hadn't even had a tag team name yet. The International House of Pain name came from my buddy and trainer, the Canadian Crusher. Wrestled in IWA until, like I said, four shows, until they closed their doors as well. And I haven't been in the ring since probably August or September of last year.
Yep, that sounds about right. Okay, so I got some questions for you here that I would love for you to answer. This is actually a two-part question.
All right.
First part of the question is, what is your finisher name? And how did it become your finisher?
Oh, man, are we talking recent finishers or what my first finisher was until my very end finisher?
The Kulula Bomb, if I'm saying that correctly.
The Kulula Bomb, how that came to be, dude. I was tired of, like, I would use the super kick. I used a high cross body as a finish, which wasn't really a good finish. They told me, my trainers were like, no, the high cross body's not a good finish, and you don't do it that well. There's a lot of things I didn't do well. Super kick, though, I could throw a hell of a super kick. Ask Christian Steele, because, you know, before we were partners, we were rivals. But the Kulula Bomb came about, dude. I was thinking, I saw it's kind of like the TKO, but I do it differently as a TKO into like a stunner. I was sitting there and I was thinking, I was watching, I like the TKO, and I was like, well, if I can modify that, since I'm Hawaiian, I can put them up on my shoulders for like a Samoan drop and then just spin their body out and give them a stunner. And that's how it came to be. And probably for me, when you look at it, it looks like one of the most devastating finishers to me I've ever had. Like, it looks like it kills you because all is the, you know, but I've never hurt anybody with it. I even got Christian Steele up in the Kulula Bomb. Of course, I took him off the second turnbuckle, but I got him into the Kulula Bomb and hit him with it. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I have to say myself that I've been on the receiving end of that move more than once.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a time that Kodiak and Rob Johnson didn't see eye to eye.
I still don't like you.
Hey, we do what we got to do to get along.
Yeah, no, I'm just...
Okay.
Shit.
So my next question is, what is your favorite memory from being on the road with the boys?
Dude, man, I think, to be fair, I've been on a lot of road trips. But not like in the beginning of my career with my original trainers, there was a road trip where I'll just talk about this one briefly. I have a couple different memories that I'd like to share. You know, if you don't mind, you don't mind me sharing a couple different.
Go right ahead, brother.
All right. So literally we were going to Dayton, Ohio from Mansfield, Ohio, which is a 4-hour drive where my friend who's taken us, there's 5 wrestlers going. My friend who's taken us has a 1988 Chevy Beretta. If you know that car, it's a 2-door car with very little room in the back, let me tell you. So my buddy is driving, and of course my trainer Jake Kilgore gets the front seat in the Beretta. I get shoved in the back between Crusher, who's close to 250, and the guy we called Mad Dog Mercy. Let me tell you about Mad Dog. I grew up with him, went to school with him, but Mad Dog Mercy was every bit of 450 pounds. Love the guy to death. But so if you think about this, so Mad Dog and Crusher get the window. The windows on both sides of the car. Little skinny ass 180-pound me gets stuck in the middle, and I feel like I'm sitting in an airplane seat, dude. It was for 4 hours. For 4 hours, dude. It's a good, wonderful road trip. We had lots of fun, but why I talk about that? Because it leads to one of my favorite wrestling memories before I met everybody in Southern Ohio. I went to HWA, Heartland Wrestling Association, headed by Cody Hawk. He was calling all these indie guys from all around Ohio to be in a 3-ring, 150-man over-the-top battle royal. 150 men in 3 rings.
That's a lot of people.
Let me tell you. It's just fucking crazy. So these rings, dude, I'm not talking they're the small, most chintzy ones that indies had. They were 20-foot, maybe 22-foot rings. Two of them was a WCW Thunder ring, and one of them was a SmackDown ring that this guy had. These rings were huge, and they were so soft. But as the guys got eliminated, we would move to one ring. So 150 guys, there's probably, I don't even know how many, 3 rings, 150, 30, I don't know, 40, 50, 50 guys in one ring at a time. Let me tell you, that makes for quick eliminations. I actually ended up getting into the second ring. I was in like the top maybe 30 or 40 guys in there. But of course, it was Cody Hawk's promotion. His guys were going to go over. Would you know that in that day, it was 2003. And would you believe it? I was actually in the ring. Never even realized it, with a young guy starting up coming to business named John Moxley. I never knew that until someone had mentioned Coach. It was where I met Coach in HWA in Dayton. Coach had told me that John Moxley was one of the guys in the 150-man battle royal. He was coming up from since he trained with Cody Hawk. So it was pretty awesome. That's one of my memories, which led to one of my favorite wrestling memories a lot. And after that, I didn't travel much with the boys until 2018. 2018, we meet this guy at IWA, goes by the name of the old school Thriller, Jay Miller. Apparently, we made a good impression on him because he started helping you learn the business.
And yes, he did.
Come August, that was that March, February of 2018? Roughly is the time scope.
Yep.
Come August, he had found out about this. Hey, man, there's a spot in Alabama. We're doing TV tapings. This guy wants some people to come down. We're going to go down there and do some TV matches for him. And it pays you. I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. So in my 2009 Dodge Caravan, I was the driver, had the most room. We end up with the old school Jay Miller, his husband, Paradise, Jimmy Graves, Jay Hayes, and some young punk kid who had only been in the business about almost a year. God, what was that kid's name? What was
I believe that was Cody.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
So we end up going this 13 and a half hour drive to fucking northern Alabama. Ugh, lots of memories, and then we had
to learn. I think if I'm remembering correctly, I think it was Tuscumbia,
like Alabama, in northern Alabama. Yes. It was in the northern part of Alabama.
Yes.
So I end up with these six guys in my van. My van, probably the most comfortable ride you ever ride in. Of course, the rookie hits his head 8 times on the roof. But, you know, if, God forbid.
Yeah, I could never keep my ass in my seat.
Then we learned about the Edge era. Edge era. What the fuck is the Edge era? But we'll get into that. I'll let you tell that story. It's part of this road trip. So, but on this 13-hour trip, we're having fun. We're ribbing the rookie. We're making a day of it, just having a blast. Out of the, you know, sometimes Jay would fall asleep, and out of the blue, he'd say something to Kodiak, go right back to sleep. So we're driving this 13-and-a-half-hour drives. I thought I was going to have, you know, co-drivers, co-conspirators, everybody else. Well, hey,
the young cub did offer to help drive all the way down there multiple times.
Yeah, that is true. So,
but there was a certain lion jacked up on 5-hour energy in Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I don't remember half of that road trip, dude. I remember we put in one of the WrestleManias for you to watch. We were listening to podcasts. We had all kinds of tapes because old Lion had some Ultimate Warrior DVDs. I had WrestleMania 6, oh, WrestleMania 23, which was the one that I actually got to attend. I was in the nosebleeds, but, you know.
Hey. You can still say you were a part of WrestleMania.
Yep, I can say I went to a WrestleMania, so it was amazing. But yeah, man, 13-hour drive down there, dude, 13 and a half. We get an hour and a half away from the area. Old Jay Hayes is like, oh, man, I can drive. I was like, no, I've been at this an hour and a half. I'm making it the rest of the way. Thanks for the offer, but I got this. Oh man, that road trip was a blast. That was
honest.
I mean, that, you know, that comparative to the time we went to 4 different cities in Indiana, plus the one shithole town. Pardon, I don't mean to be a dick, but the one shithole town where the wrestling company in Ohio, Franklin, Ohio, was attached to a fucking convenience store, and the roofs were so low. But I was with the Kodiak. I was with the Paradise Jimmy Graves. I was with the old school thriller Jay Miller. Still another fun road trip. We had such a blast in hotels.
Can I say something about that building real quick while on topic?
Yeah, go ahead.
That roof was so small. I was wrestling Jimmy Graves. And he picked me up to do a standing suplex. I literally had to bend my feet because when I extended my feet, they went through the ceiling tiles.
Yeah, I remember. All right.
But as you were saying, brother.
Oh, no, I was just talking about those Indiana trips, man, and the shit in the hotel rooms.
Oh, man, that was a good time. To this day, I still can't jump that high. Yeah.
Now, before that's taken out of context, when I mean all the shit that we did in the hotel rooms, what I meant was we goofed around, we played video games.
That's all we did.
We almost killed Paradise because he was laughing so hard. Those are my road trip memories.
Okay, so next question I have for you. How many titles have you held? And that's tag team and singles.
All right. Would you believe in my entire career I've only held 6 titles?
Really?
What? Yeah, so let's see. Well, maybe eight. Well, maybe eight. Let's go through it. And I was light heavyweight champion in, oh, I forgot, Ohio Championship Wrestling, which at the time was run by Bud Moffitt. I was light heavyweight champion for two shows, lost the title. And I was a lot lighter then. I was 190 pounds, 175. I was the U.S. champ in the CWA, the Continental Wrestling Alliance, for a whopping 15 minutes, and I lost it to Christian Steele and his Canadian World Order. I forgot about the Outlaw Wrestling Organization, which was before RPW. See, I forgot my own history here. Let's see. In ICWF, I was... God... I won like this Money in the Bank contract at an outside show in August at Jackson Park in Baysville. It was 98 degrees. Chris was the heavyweight champion. It was the final show of ICWF. Christian Steele was the champion. Final show of ICWF. He wrestled somebody. I come in after he finished. I picked up the mic, said, well, you better watch it because I'm cashing in, brother. I hit Christian Steele with a couple moves with a reverse neck breaker, and he had already had a match, which was great for me. I pinned him 1-2-3, ICWF heavyweight champion. It was my first heavyweight world, my first heavyweight title capture. OWO, I was that company's very first heavyweight champion. RPW, I was RPW, I ended up being tag champs, but that was towards the end of its run. One time tag champion, RPW, GWF, we're the only two, the International House of Pain was the only two-time tag team champion of GWF with Christian Steele as my partner. Which also, at that same time, I captured a tag title. We captured tag titles at IWA, International House of Pain. Two-time, two-company tag team champions. IWA, we left for a while for IWA. We came back. We got the title shot we deserved. And look at that. We were two-time IWA tag team champions. So... I think I captured twice in RPW. So that's 2-4. So yeah, 8 titles I've held in my entire career.
Nice. Okay. Who are some of the wrestlers that have inspired you?
Oh, yeah, here's one that's going to shock you. In the 80s, coming up, most young guys, they liked Hulk Hogan, the guy, the man, Hulkamania. My favorite guy, I mean, I liked Hogan, sure. He took wrestling to places not a lot of people did, but my favorite wrestler, one of my big inspirations, was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, of course, built from Hawaii. Ricky the Dragon, some of his matches with Ric Flair were the stuff of legend. But yeah, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was one of my very first influences. Then it became the Rockers with Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Then it became the Ultimate Warrior. Then it became just like Shawn Michaels himself. And then The Rock showed up on the scene. Hawaiian guy, Samoan. Who am I going to follow, man? He's one of big, huge fan of The Rock. And those are most of my influences, man. Like, you know, I like Ric Flair. He's always going to be the man. But my guys were always the guys that you wouldn't expect someone like me to follow.
Yeah, one of the things that I always remember Ric Flair saying... To be the man, you got to beat the man.
That's synonymous with Rick.
And, like, I just, he had this match at WrestleMania with Shawn Michaels, and I was just blown away. So, I got one more question for you, and that is, who would you love to have a match with, or what team would you like to have a match with?
Well, while, like I've said before, my future in the wrestling business is uncertain right now. But if I could come back, or if I decide to come back, there is, like, JT Storm, he mentioned it on Buckshot's podcast, that we have been in numerous companies together. And while we've only been in numerous companies together many times, we have tagged. I went against him when he was teamed up with Brandon Morgan as Rockstar Inc., but there were two other tag teams in there. I was in a battle royal with him, and I eliminated Rockstar Inc. I eliminated both him and his tag team partner. We have never had a one-on-one match. I think I owe my former partner. I owe my former partner probably my retirement match. And if I could go against the team, I'd find a good partner, and we'd go after the International House of Pain.
Oh yeah.
I would love to have a match with the International House of Pain on the opposite side. While I was a founder, I think going against those two would be Connor Cross and Christian Steele. That would be something fun to do. And I kind of owe this young cub a more fair match, or even a better partner, because I've teamed up with him in Indiana, and I didn't exactly help him out as much as I should have.
Yeah, I'll tell that story.
Sounds good.
What? I'll take over that one, that's for sure.
All right, buddy. So let's see here. So you got your questions asked to me, and I know this is supposed to be a get-to-know-you type podcast. Let's talk about you. Absolutely. You mind if I take over for a little while?
Let's go.
All right, buddy. Here's what I want to talk to you about. I know you're young.
Yes, I am.
Let's talk about what made you decide that you wanted to try your hand at this business. Where did you start liking wrestling? It's a two-part question. Let's start with, okay, when did you start following wrestling? And what made you decide to try your hand at a business where you get beat up monthly?
Yes. So I actually had been, this is 2006. I would have been a freshman in high school because I really wasn't, I was more of a hyper-functioning kid. So my parents didn't really allow me to watch that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's completely acceptable. You know, everybody parents their own ways. Nothing bad. So I'm just laying in my bed one night and I'm flipping through the channels. I come across USA. Monday Night Raw's on. And I see this guy come into the ring. And he goes by the name Edge. And I watched his match. And after his match was over, I looked up more about him. And needless to say, I'm an Edgehead. That's who inspired me to want to wrestle, to want to watch wrestling. Then 2010 came along. He got a neck injury. He couldn't wrestle no more. So at this time, I'm about 20. I started to kind of ask around, like, how to train, you know, who to go train with. Wasn't getting very much help. Well, 2016 comes along. I run into this guy at a party named Robbie Rampage. He's like, yeah, I wrestle all the time, you know, monthly. He's like, why don't you come check it out? And I did. And that was one of the last shows that I remember of RPW 2.0. That's where I met Rob. And, man, I got the shit chopped out of me. Wow. Like, I remember they made me put my shirt over my head. And they all lined up. And they got one chop each. There had to be, like, 20 guys in this locker room, man, at least. And we're getting lit up, you know. Connor Cross is standing right beside me. He's just laughing. He's getting lit up, too. And it's just like, oh, my God. If this is what this is, hell no. I want out. Well, needless to say, there was a few training sessions after that we had to pay for. You mentioned Connor Cross, mentioned this in Buckshot's podcast. Yes, it was $150. Yes, we all got screwed. No, that's not what we had intended, but you know, they say you learned your lessons. That's what, you know, watching wrestling as a kid, like, made me, like, want to do it. And I wrestled in high school, so I had this amateur background behind me. So I thought I had an upper hand.
I wrestled in high school, too. Doesn't help much, unless that's your gimmick. No.
That's just like Kurt Angle or Chad. He goes by Shorty G now. But, yeah. I also did, before that ever happened, when I was in high school, before I moved back to Ohio, I was in choir with a couple of guys that loved wrestling. I mean, loved wrestling. Well, we decided we were going to put some stuff together and we were going to have us a wrestling match. I will tell you this now, I regret it. I do not regret meeting the people, but man, I regret it because it was unsafe as hell.
That's what we call backyard wrestling, my friend.
Yes.
Cool. So we got that taken care of. So now here we are, 2020. Let me ask you, who do you credit as, you know, the people who, or even just the guy who trained you, gave you the most knowledge of the business?
The guy that, there's actually three guys that's gave me knowledge in this business. One, I'm actually talking to him right now, Rob Johnson. He, like, every road trip we had, like, he was constantly, like, you know, he would actually pause. We would watch on them road trips, we would watch wrestling videos, and he would pause it, and he would explain it, and he'd be like, why do you think you did this? And I would say something, he'd be like, no, this is the reason why we do this, and that's why. You know, like, you're a big inspiration to me. Like, another guy that really helped was your former partner, Christian Steele. He helped me a lot. We were actually going down to a place he had set up the ring, and we were going down there during the summer just sweating our ass off. And I would be running the ropes 150 times until I got it right. I would be taking bumps until I got it right. Like, when Christian was in the ring with me, there was no quit. He was making sure I was getting it done right. And another guy that's been a big inspiration to me is JT Storm. Like, he would always call. He would always talk to me. I went to the Storm Dungeon a couple times. You've heard about the Storm Dungeon. Connor Cross has mentioned it on Buckshot's podcast. And Chris Hex, also the Black Label Rebel, had mentioned it as well. Jay Miller, if it wasn't for that man, we had a year-long feud. If it wasn't for that man helping me in the ring, because I can't hear in the ring anyway, so it's hard on me to just be able to go out there and call things in the ring and be able to get her done. I can't call everything in the back and then be like, okay, go do it. No, it doesn't work that way. When it comes to being in the ring, I am old school. Call it in the ring. Make sure I can hear you. I will bump my ass off for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So those are the guys. And let's see, what else do we got on our plates here, man? Now, had certain things not transpired, where would you in the wrestling business see yourself today?
Had things not went the way they went and I was still wrestling today, I would see myself as a babyface. I was heel for a period of time by force because there was these teams going on back and forth, and I was part of the face team. Well, at the time, I started dating somebody that was on the heel team. And me and Brenda started dating. Well, they said that we were breaking kayfabe. A lot of people say kayfabe's been fucking dead for years. But the thing is, you know, we tried our best. I tried, me and Connor and Brenda, and everybody tried to tell him, no, she can be persuaded to a face. But Caleb was so certain that had to go down the way it went. Turned me heel. It also started fucking up my in-ring career. Because once I turned heel, I slowly didn't give a shit anymore. I was being hurt in the ring by people. I'm not going to mention any names because that's disrespectful. I will say, and I will come out and say, I will never wrestle Caleb Copper ever again, and I will never wrestle Vinnie Violence ever again. I wrestled them both twice, and I got a concussion twice. I even tore my MCL and my left knee in a match that I had with Vinnie Violence. They are unsafe people.
That's understandable, man. And I understand where you're coming from with all that because while I work stiff in certain areas, I've worked against Vinnie Violence. And, yeah, he's a little rough around the edges, let's just say. Let's see. What else do I got for you there, Kodiak? Man. What else have you been doing with your time, man? Like, have you been still watching wrestling? You still follow?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely still watch wrestling. And, like, a lot of my, you know, people that are my mentors, I like to say, like yourself, try to tell me to study wrestling. I've never been able to be a person to study it. Because I'm such a fan of it. And, you know, ever since being a little kid, after seeing Edge, I did my history, seen that him and Christian were a tag team, and that's all I've ever wanted to do, is become a tag team and, you know, just bust my ass and maybe one day become a tag team champion. Unfortunately, in my career, that's not happened yet. But I believe one day down the road, it will.
You got them family priorities to think about, man.
Yes, absolutely.
Every time. Let's see. I had some other questions in mind. Just trying to remember them where we can do that. For now, we can shoot the shit a little bit. What's your favorite road trip ever been? What's your favorite road trip memory? And like, there's some parts of the road trip to Alabama that I left out because I kind of wanted you to talk about it because you were more heavily involved because one of us was trying to catch up on his sleep that he didn't get.
That's when the boys discovered the Edge era. And I'm sitting in the middle seat, bouncing my head off this center DVD thing like 20 times, if not more. And they picked me up in the capital of Ohio, Columbus, and we didn't even make it to Cincinnati yet, and I'd already hit my head 20 times. Well, they asked me some questions, you know, because I'm rookie, I'm greener than goose shit. They're like, so Timmy, what's your favorite era of wrestling? Ding, 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 immediately. I think of Edge, because that's what started it all for me, you know. So I say the Edge era. Somebody that's sleeping behind me wakes up, sets up like he's the fucking Undertaker, and he said, what the fuck is the Edge era? I was like, you know, when Edge started, they're like, that wasn't an era, Timmy. That was the Attitude era. The end of the Attitude era. Oh, now I get it.
Oh, man.
But that was my favorite trip. You know, we went down there. And, of course, you know, me being the rookie, I was scared. You know, it's my birthday weekend, but I got to hang out with the boys, so I really didn't give a shit. You know, we get down there. I didn't go to sleep at all because we had to be back up in, like, what, 3 hours?
2 hours. Something like that? I think it was even an hour and a half. 2 hours. I don't fucking remember.
Right. And, like, I remember there was rooms that was bought for all of us by this company that brought us down. He paid us all, but there was too many people put in one room with the group we had. So I said, fine, you know, put me with somebody else. And, I think his name's Brad. I can't remember for sure, but yes, Brad Miles. Met him, and I mean, of course, I'm scared. I don't know this person. The most laid-back dude, you know, took care of us. And next day, that day comes along. Of course, I don't have any sleep at all. So I'm like, you know what? I'm scared. I'm not wrestling today. And I can't remember the guy's name, but I know he did some stuff for the WWF as an Chase extra Stevens. Worker. No, not Chase Stevens. The guy that took us back to the hotel.
Billy Ron Batt.
Yes, Billy Ron Batt.
He's one of the coolest dudes I'd ever met.
I mean, yes. Absolutely great. So he took us back to the hotel. I thanked him. And then next day comes along. Well, that day, you know, all of us decided we were going to go party in the pool and drink a bunch of beers. Well, we got in trouble for that, so we all hopped out of the pool and went to this restaurant down the road. We all go have our thing. Me and Jimmy Graves up all night partying, whatever. Had a great time. And next day comes along, the promoter tells me I have a match. So I'm like, oh, shit. Who is this? You know, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. Can you please tell me who I'm having a match with? And he points to the guy. And it's Chris Michaels. This guy has been around for a long time. He's helped train Batista and John Cena and OVW and a few other people that, hell, I don't know. I know he's been around a long time. So I walk up to him, you know, politely, you know, hey, I mentioned I'm Kodiak. And that we have the match after the segment. And he's like, oh, cool, brother. You know, and I mentioned to him that I cannot hear in the ring. He's like, I'm just going to hit you. Boom, boom, boom. You're going to bump, bump, bump. He's like, I will take care of you. He's like, but when you get up from that last bump, I'm going to be coming with the super kick. It's going to be coming in hot. I put my hand up to my face to protect myself, because I've been told by some people that he can be stiff with it. So I just took safety precautions to protect myself. Didn't even feel his foot touch my hand. I felt the wind from his foot. And I bumped and laid there until the bell rang. I rolled out. I was sitting there taking tape off of my hands. He came up to me and thanked me for the match. And after that, I've always thanked people after my match. And that's also where we met young Mason Alexander.
Mason Alexander is a hell of a guy.
Oh, yes. He's wrestled in many states. So you got another question for me, bro?
Oh, man. Let's see. Oh, gosh. No, man. That's about all that comes to mind currently. I just, you know, it was great wonders that we're still around, still talking. I know we've had a couple rough spots, like when you believe certain people over us.
Right.
But you're still here, man. Yeah. You're still my brother. I'm always happy to be here for you. What else? You got anything else?
I did go through a spur of moments when I first started, because Robbie Rampage helped me with my name. Well, yeah, cool. Jordan Aarons. I was Jordan Aarons for a little bit. You know, this AJ Styles persona wannabe. And I didn't like the name. It wasn't me. Get out on the road, change my name again. Didn't like it again. So I said, fuck it. I've always been the Kodiak, and I'll always
I would like to Kodiak. Apologize for
so
that.
So my name is the Kodiak. Hey, that wasn't just you, brother.
I know, but it was a running gag in Alabama, because you do look like a Murdoch. Really?
Yeah, I kind of sound like one, too.
Now, here's the thing. I got maybe a little nugget of wisdom for you. Can't watch wrestling to study it. Study the history of it. Instead of watching it, read up on some of the stuff, man. Get knowledge that way so you can still be a fan.
For instance, you know the TV show The Dark Side of the Ring that's been going on. I think this is the second season now.
Yeah.
I watched 3 episodes this year, mainly because they were guys that, like Chris Benoit. I knew who he was. I seen a little bit of him, you know, when I first started watching wrestling. And I liked his, you know, character, liked his persona. However, I did not know that all the stuff that they revealed in that episode had happened. Just like the one with Owen Hart. I've never been a Hart fan. Yeah, I know Bret Hart's the best there is, best there ever was, and best there ever will be. I know that. But I was never really a Hart person. Yes, the guy I like is from Canada himself. But I wasn't a Bret Hart person. I wasn't a Hart person. But after watching the Owen Hart story yesterday, it was a really heartfelt episode.
A lot of those shows on Dark Side of the Ring, they're real eye-opening, man, about the side of the ring that we may not have experienced it to the extremes that Owen did or Chris Benoit did, but we've experienced parts of that, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
So here's a question that comes to mind. What companies have you worked for?
I've worked for three companies. Three companies. Like consistent. There was when I first started doing it, it was RPW 2.0 or 1.0. No. I can't remember. It's been through so many damn people, and now it's just trash.
Easy.
But I will say that, you know, I highly respect the first two people that came up with RPW, and that is JT Storm and Joe Black.
Good guys.
Very good guys. Taught me a lot in the ring. If you don't mind, I'll tell a quick story about when
it's all about stories, brother. Oh, is that another company you work for?
Yes. GWF and IWA were the last two companies that I had worked for. GWF, I got a call one day. Hey, Timmy. You know, hey, Kodiak. I want to start this wrestling business, and I want you to be in it. You know, me and you went through training together. I want you to be one of the guys. All right, awesome. So, lo and behold, a couple years go by, we have Battle Royale. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in it to win it, because at the time, I was going by the name Jordan Aarons. And that was my fight. You know, I had always had the crowd behind me, and I was in that damn thing to win it. It came down to me and Connor Cross and Robbie Rampage. Connor had eliminated me, but while in that match, JT Storm looks at me and wants me to throw him out. And I'm just like looking at myself, smacking myself a couple times. You know, this ain't real. This ain't happening. A guy that's been in the business this long wants me to throw him over the top rope. I'm a youngster. He should be tossing me. But nope. I mean, now I was on cloud nine about that for weeks. And it'll be a memory that I'll forever hold, because he was also one of my trainers.
Yeah, being in a battle royal with one of the guys who trained you, especially a vet in the business like JT Storm, and for them to give you the honor of tossing them, dude, absolutely. Well, you know, so there's a lot that can be said. I've let people toss me out that were younger than me, lots years in the business than me. One thing I've never done is I've never held my vet status over anyone's head. I don't, I'm an 18-year veteran, blah. No, I don't do that. Yeah, to get that honor, to be in the ring with your trainer or anybody who's ever inspired you is something to behold. My trainer a huge apology for my first match, for screwing it up so bad. Let me ask you, man, if you ever had a chance, what would you want for me if my future wasn't uncertain for the wrestling business?
What would I want for you? If my
future wasn't uncertain in the wrestling business.
Well, I will tell you now that I'm getting goosebumps thinking about this. But right now, we're podcast partners, right? We're brothers. I would love to be a team with the Hawaiian Lion, Rob Johnson.
We'll have to see what we can do about that. For me, for you, you know what I'd like for anything, more than anything? I'd like you to get that grasp on the business that you had started to get when we were on the road for a year, that you were performing so well. I want you to get back to that guy on your own terms when you can do it. You, and I'm not, you know, trying to blow smoke and not knocking you.
Why don't we talk about that real quick? Since you brought it up. I mean, I was going to be so nice and not even bring it up.
I was bringing it up as a rib, brother.
But I'm going to say this now. I don't care who hears this, but it needs to be said. If you say that you're not knocking somebody, deep down, you really are. You're just not being a dickhead about it and pointing that person out. When you say you're not knocking Kodiak, I know you think I suck. That's okay, because deep down, I'll remember in my head who you are. Well, here's
the thing about doubters, and the ideal is while we take it personal, and I have, and I know you have, is the one thing about doubters is if you don't have them, you can't improve.
Right. The doubters always fuel the fire that you have inside.
A lot of it, though, Timmy, is, you know, and I'll own up to, you know, stuff that I did. And I know we didn't get into it, but when I left IHOP, when I left the business, I said some bad shit to my partner. I said some pretty raucous shit to a lot of people that I owe an apology to. I was in a bad place, dude, and it just wasn't, I'm not sure if I could ever go back to those people and be like, but I'm also not that guy who is going to beg for your forgiveness. I just want to see you when you're ready to return. I want to see you prove everyone wrong, man. Get that help from those guys down there who are offering it. Even if it's just doing chain wrestling in a basement of someone's house, or if you can get Steel to set up his ring. I want to see you do the best for you when you get back in this business. You know, that way when your kid's 3 or 4 and can understand what daddy's doing, he can be proud of daddy being in the ring. That's what I want for you, Timmy. That's what I've always wanted.
Well, you, like I said, you're my brother, and, you know, I've always looked up to you. I remember one of the first shows that GWF had, and there was a guy, this greener goose shit like me, I forget his name, but he got a match and I didn't. To me, that's disrespectful. You know, why put somebody on the card that's on the same boat that I am, but he gets a shot?
His name was Tyler something or other.
Yeah. But I remember I was supposed to announce, and I said, hell with it. I went in the locker room. I was packing my shit, and I was leaving because I just wasn't going to be treated like that. And, yes, some of the people that were booking at the time, yes, we've had our differences, but it is what it is. I went and sat next to you and Steel, and I believe JT was right there. And I'm throwing shit around, you know, I'm leaving, I'm mad. And the three of you guys took me outside, said, don't give up on this business. You have a lot of potential and you have a lot of fire. Don't give up because you didn't get booked tonight because somebody didn't book you because he didn't think you were ready. And that's ever since then I was thrown in the ring because that's how I had to learn.
That brings up a locker room story that I want to talk about. You might remember this one. It had something to do with a phone hitting a wall. You remember that story? Let's go into that a little bit. How about we talk about how that came out?
Was the day that you came out to Lenny Kravitz, wasn't it?
I came out to American Woman.
Wow.
And to tell everybody who was on Buckshot's podcast, if they're going to quote me right. I said, if you can't get our fucking music right, turn that shit off. Nobody was quoting me properly on that one. So let's talk a little bit about what happened that led you to throwing your phone into the wall. I mean, but keep it professional as possible, but let's talk about that.
There won't be any names dropped. Me and I was, the music guy had got there late, like it was explained. Didn't know what the hell he's doing. Didn't have any of our music. And I didn't even come out to any music because I didn't go out there and tell him. Well, there was an entrance going on. Well, let me remind you, I am hearing impaired. And when I'm getting ready, I take my hearing aids out so I can focus on my match and what I have to do. And I want to say the Raging
Manny
Bull.
Fernandez.
Oh, Manny Fernandez. I was in a tag team match against him. And I believe it was Jay Miller was his tag partner.
Yes.
Yes. And
Jay was
your
partner.
Jay was,
he was
my
a partner
tag
with
team
one
partner.
Of
us.
Yeah, he was a partner
was
with his student.
Partner. Jay was the one. Right. And like I said, you know, he's a vet. Respect the guy. But after that match, shit went like extremely south really fast. For one, nobody showed up. And for two, I got punished for something that I, for one, didn't hear. And for two, didn't even know. But now I do, which I've corrected myself. And I've made a note to myself, never walk out when somebody is making an entrance. But I was so pissed off. I took my iPhone and he was running his mouth. No sooner than he turned the corner, I dished it across the room. And it hit the wall. Then I was taken outside to be confronted by the owner of the company. Timmy, you can't be doing that. You got to settle down. If you can't settle down, you'll have to leave. Mine, my match is over anyway. You want me to leave? You can tear down the ring yourself. I don't care. That's how pissed I was. And then the person that pissed me off came up. Was trying to confront me, and I kept telling him, dude, you're going to have to get out of my face because it's not going to end good if you keep trying to apologize while I'm still pissed off. Later that day, he apologized. A bunch of us boys went out to a local bar, and that was the end of GWF.
It was the beginning of the end of GWF because I seem to recall before that confrontation happened, other than the owner dragging your ass outside, there were two other people that dragged your ass outside too, so you didn't punch a hole through someone's face.
Oh, yeah, that's where you got one of you got one arm and the other one got the other arm and dragged my
didn't
ass
we?
Outside.
Yeah. Well, you remember what we told you?
Yeah, I believe that was IHOP. And you told me that you can't let the temper get the best of you. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I remember dragging you. It was like dragging a wild bull. You're like, get off me. Like, no, you're following me whether you like it or not.
I was fighting. The
you got up.
Then
you looked
the,
at us
the,
like, oh, the, shit.
Give me that little torque, and I'm like, oh shit, this is over. I'm either going to A, get knocked the hell out, or B, listen and do what the hell they want me
to
do.
That's what we did, brother. So let's talk about real life, man. How's things with baby coming along?
Good. We're getting stuff slowly. We finally got her.
How's the mama?
You know, the mama's doing great, you know. She's the one that, you know, I wake up every morning, I go to work, and she's the one that I look forward to coming home to. You know, she's the reason that I want to go to sleep, and I want to get up every day, and I want to go to work. So I have a house over, a roof over her head, and so, you know, we can be together. I love her with all my heart, and I will always love her with all my heart. And I am so happy. I've always thought this, and I always will. Everything
hey,
happens.
Hey, brother,
for
and
us.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you're finally happy, and you're not dealing with but dumb shit. Let me put. Let's ask about some other stuff here, man. Because I know we've been 70 minutes into this, and we've been talking mostly wrestling, but that's what we needed to talk about for our first one. Because
we needed to let the people
out there know about us, but. You been playing any good new games lately, video game wise? When you have time.
So, I have time almost every night, but I don't really play video games every night. I usually wait till the weekend and just go all at it. I'm more of a sports freak myself, so I'm playing games like NASCAR, NBA, football, Although I do have a favorite superhero, and that is, he's also a speedster, the Flash.
Nice.
He's always going to be my favorite superhero, and I will always wish that I can run as fast as the Flash.
So we obviously covered the question, what superpower you would have if you ever had a superpower.
It would be.
I said we covered speed. That. No. Let's see here.
Oh, yeah. What about you, brother? You know, who's your favorite superhero?
I played Final Fantasy VII, the remake, for a little bit. Grand Theft Auto, always. I've been playing, I just got a new racing game. I'm a racing guy, kind of car guy, but I don't like NASCAR per se. I've played NASCAR games, but this open world.
I like the open
world racing. I just got Need for Speed Payback. It was sale, the deluxe edition. Payback was on sale for the deluxe edition, was like $20, dude. So I picked it up, and it's a fun game. I know a lot of people have problems with it, but it's a really fun, super fun racing game. You got off-road racing. You got regular street racing. You got run racing, where you're trying to take out cops coming after you, doing all kinds of shit. It's a fun game.
Nice.
Other than that, brother, we are 72 minutes into the 71 minutes. You got anything else you want to talk about?
Real quick, like we just brought up, this isn't just a wrestling podcast. This podcast is about, you know, I have a passion for music. Music and wrestling, that's all me. I love it. One day we might talk about music, what kind of music, movies. I actually was just talked to today, really, about this. A guy that we know had contacted us and heard that we were starting up this podcast and wanted to know a little bit more about it. And I told him, he's like, if you guys do a movie and games day, I'll be all in. So,
absolutely. Well, right, that's a good way to build up one of our first guests. So what are we going to do, man, for guest-wise, man? What do you think? Who should we try to get on here with us?
I want to say I want to get your... I don't know. It's not really tag team partner anymore.
But I want to get family, man. That's for most.
Yes, he's brother. I want to try, obviously our first guest will be Connor Cross. When, we don't know yet. We haven't really scheduled a date. But he'll come on, talk about some movies, video games, a little bit of wrestling, whatever. I want to see if JT Storm will come on. Just because I know that he likes to play video games as well. And you know, that would be like kind of cool to see like his little background and what he likes absolutely. To play.
I'd definitely like to see if we can get Bobby Watson, Chris Kernahan on here, talk to him, see his take on the business, see how he got started with the original IWA. Like right now,
Wasn't he an IWA original?
I'd like to see if I can get my buddy on here, who I met in Michigan. His name is Ben Guess. Probably another good friend like you, except he lives in Oregon, Ohio. And we talk on very rare occasions. I'd like to get him on here. I didn't even think about your music stuff and your art, because you do a lot of that shit. Maybe one or two, like a friend of mine on here, and talk to him about stuff that we used to do when we were younger. And maybe next time that we come on here, we'll talk about what is the biggest, something to think about. and we'll write this down. What is the biggest rib that's ever been played on you and by who? Think about that one for our next one, because I got a story about the biggest rib on me ever that I'll tell on our next one. But I appreciate you spending this time with me and giving me the idea, giving the ideal for this, brother. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been great time, you know. I can't believe that it just seems like time flies, you know. You're telling your stories and you're just doing what you're doing, and wow, can't believe we're 75 right? minutes
so
into this.
We're going to cut this here. I'll probably go through and see if there's some things I can edit out, check it out, if you know, see what we can do, and then I'll get it published probably within the next 24 to 48 hours for us.
Sounds good, brother. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always a pleasure, you know, being your podcast tag team partner.
Yep, we're going to just have fun doing with it. I don't care if we get – it's just like wrestling. I don't care if we're wrestling in front of two people or 200 people. If we can get a couple listeners, brother, it's going to be great.
That's what it's all about. You go out there and you – it doesn't matter if there's one person in the stands or zero or 5,000 people in the stands. Go out there.
That's the idea. Always, always, always follow the number one rule. Keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Coming from Lion Rob Johnson himself. You have a good night, brother.